Om Shri Sai Ram. To the supreme source of all creation, to the mystical power that sustains it, to the ultimate destination that we are all headed to, I bow with deep gratitude, awe, reverence, humility, and overwhelming love. That is because the same power descended upon earth as an avatar and founded a university that I was so privileged to attend. Omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, revered Bhagwan, respected elders, dear sisters, brothers, and students, loving Sai Ram to all of you. My name is Karuna Sarup Munshi, and I'm a grateful alumna of the Anantapur campus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, class of 1985. One of thousands, including four members of my immediate family. I feel especially blessed to be a part of this historic moment as we continue the celebrations to mark the landmark Golden Jubilee, or the 50th anniversary of the first campus that Bhagwan set up while establishing a university that has become a benchmark of excellence in higher learning. Today, Anantapur College alumni from around the globe have gathered here to offer our heartfelt gratitude to our Lord for choosing us to be His students and His daughters, because that is how Bhagwan made us feel from the moment we set foot in our alma mater. 50 batches of students joined the college in 1968 onwards, including those who joined in the 1970s, the 80s, the 90s, and the millennials. They are all represented here to celebrate this occasion today. This homecoming is extremely poignant and emotional for us because many of our sisters are returning home after decades. Yet despite the lag, most of them continue to express their love and gratitude to Bhagwan through their involvement in their Sai Samitis and centers. More than 150 of us also serve at the various Sai schools, the Sai hospitals, the Anantapur campus, the Mandir security, and the various trusts that are associated with Prashanti Nilayam. Our education at the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning has given us way more than our degrees and life skills, which have no doubt stood us in good stead. The most important and priceless gift that Satya Sai education has given us is the confidence that comes from a confirmed 24/7 instant and direct connection with our Divine Founding Chancellor, who occupies the permanent seat in our hearts. Even decades after graduation, we continue to benefit from his limitless, direct and instant access to his guidance and compassion. Many of our sisters here are from early batches, and now they are in their late 60s. And as much as all of us value and appreciate the enormous blessings of family, children, material and professional success that Bhagwan has bestowed upon us, at the end of the day, these remain as the perks of his grace. And our life's goal is to continue to walk the path of Satyam Vada and Dharmam Chara in an ever-changing world, because as we have found out, neither truth nor right conduct ever go out of vogue. Good choices based on Swami's guidance are always cool and always trending, despite the growing trend towards self-aggrandizement and hyper-individualism in our society. While we are grateful for our comfortable, peaceful homes, deep in our hearts we know that even those are mere real estate, because our only true home was, is, and will always be at his lotus feet right here in Prashanti Nilayam. Looking back half a century, what began so silently in a small town in South India in the year 1968 was a seeding of the human consciousness, a vital part of the avataric mission with global ramifications. Bhagwan placed the girl child on the pedestal by recognizing the potential of women to revive the rich culture and the eternal values of Bharat at a time when independent India was barely crawling her way out of the clutches of colonialism. Bhagwan started his university system by providing post-secondary education to the girl child in the safest possible environment with the sacredest possible ambience under the guidance of the ablest of instruments he had personally chosen and chiseled for our training, an experience which was at times tough and painful. But the growth spurt that happened as a result of the academic and spiritual rigor at Anantapur is what defines the alumni today, who are recognized around the world for their sense of balance, compassionate excellence, professional success, and holistic leadership. Each graduate of the Anantapur campus is Bhagwan's gift to the nation of a responsible, law-abiding, constructive, and caring citizen. Anantapur gave us an education for life, and while many of our sisters also make an impressive living, none of them live merely to eke out a paycheck. Anantapur exposed us to the concept of educare and introduced us to the priceless treasures within and helped us to develop self-confidence that we can turn inwards and sort our way through the most complex of situations. Anantapur gave us a bond of sisterhood that remains stronger than even biological ties. Anantapur taught us that the gifts we have received are to be shared. That is why a number of our sisters are educators, mothers, Balvikas gurus, SSC teachers, life coaches, bureaucrats, and social workers, apart from being the spiritual anchors of their families. Anantapur taught us that the best gifts in life are free and uncontaminated by any monetary strings. For most of us from middle-class families, the freedom from any financial burden on our parents during our Anantapur days was God-sent, literally and metaphorically. Anantapur taught us that much is expected of those to whom much is given. While political pundits and policy makers rake up the issue from time to time and speak of legislating it, in the Satya Sai orbit, women's empowerment has been happening silently, deeply, and steadily for the past 50 years and counting. The sapling that Bhagwan Baba planted in 1968 by inaugurating what was then the Sri Satya Sai Arts and Science College for Women has grown into a model institution. After the inspection of the campus by the University Grants Commission and the Government of India, we were accorded the status of a deemed to be university. Thus, the campus at Anantapur was the forerunner to what is today a four-campus university offering a unique values-driven model of higher learning. On behalf of my sisters, that is the several thousand who are present here today, and the many more who are glued to Radio Sai's web streaming right now, I thank you all for joining us on this grand celebration of love and gratitude, of nostalgia, of joy, of a huge family reunion. The opportunity to sit here and relive the glorious days when the flaming form of our Lord walked amongst us in this very sacred spot means the world to us. And I can't let this moment pass without placing a prayer before the Lord on behalf of the global alumni of the Anantapur campus. Dearest Bhagwan, we can't even imagine the sacrifices, the hard work, the wish fulfilling you must have undertaken to galvanize the forces of nature, men, and materials in order to set up the magnificent Anantapur campus of ours, and then to sustain it through the 50 years. What an army of instruments you must have brought to earth with you, shaped their life circumstances, filled them with inspiration and devotion to serve the mission. We can't possibly wrap our little heads around the enormity of your vision, compassion, and constant caring for us. Bhagwan, our hearts ache with pain when we recall the endless grace, the infinite rescue operations and the divine interventions that we have received from you because you chose us to be your daughters. Today, please bless us to stay true to your ideals and strengthen further our inner connection with you so that we may serve you with purity and sincerity. And please, make us worthy of more opportunities to come home to Prashanti Nilayam and reconnect with you, dear Swami, for you are our source, our life breath, and our goal. May we shine as your daughters and bring you a good name with the choices we make, the trails we blaze, the songs we sing, the meals we cook, the seva activities we participate in, the children we raise, the duties we perform, the jobs we hold, the paths we walk, and the talks we talk. If we can please you, Bhagwan, our lives are fulfilled. 50 years is a long time, half a century, an era long enough for an institution to become self-sufficient and self-generating in human resources. Due to divine providence, our golden jubilee coincides with a divinely orchestrated series of events such that at this moment in time, all the four campuses of the Sri Satya Institute of Higher Learning are headed by directors who are its own alumni. Many of the heads of departments, deans, as well as our registrar and the controller of examination are also Swami students. In this connection, it is now my honor to invite one such chosen instrument, the director of the Anandpur campus, Dr. Rajeshwari Patel, who is herself an illustrious alumna of the campus, to please address us. Dr. Rajeshwari Patel.
Om Shri Sai Ram. On behalf of all those seated here who have specifically come to celebrate the golden jubilee of Bhagwan's educational mission, I offer to our beloved Lord our loving and humble salutations. Distinguished dignitaries, respected elders, my dear brothers and sisters, Sai Ram to all of you. 22nd July 1968 is a day that will be written in golden letters in the annals of Bhagwan's avataric mission. Because on that day, Bhagwan started a girls' college at Anantapur, temporarily housed in the government high school, girls' high school. By starting this college at Anantapur, Bhagwan silently sowed the seeds of an educational revolution of sorts, because he commenced his educational mission with a women's college first. Today, his unique educational mission is called the Sri Satya Sai system of integral and values-based education. hope all of us remember that the Honorable Prime Minister of India, Shri Narendra Modi, started an initiative called Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao. Save the girl child, educate the girl child in 2015. And we all know why he made that call. Because even in the 21st century, the girl and the woman does not enjoy equal status with parents and the society. But what is remarkable is that even before Indian politicians and intellectuals could think of something like that, even before there was this whole discussion of the empowerment of women, 50 years back, Bhagwan commenced his educational mission with a women's college. And that is how Bhagwan put into perspective his vision of this role of woman as the centerpiece of ethical advancement in society. At that time, nobody ever thought that Bhagwan was conveying a subtle message. But today we understand that very, very clearly. And that is why, the reason why, one of the foremost reasons why we have all gathered here, the current and past students of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus, is to celebrate this, that Bhagwan started a women's college first. And made us feel that we are the custodians of culture and that he has placed the responsibility of taking forward the basic values that society needs today through its women. I know many times I have been told, and rightly so, that Bhagwan, when he was there in physical form, always had a preference for the boys. We do not want to dispute that. But we believe that Bhagwan maintained that Maya. However, for us, he was our beloved Mother Sai, who loved us and cared for us deeply. Otherwise, why would he start a women's college first? So somewhere in the corner of his heart, he had a special place for his girls. So that is what we are celebrating today. At that time, because I myself came in those early years, Anantapur was some faraway place. And students came from distant parts of India to study at Anantapur because of their devotion to Bhagwan or because of their parents' desire that their daughters get a college education at a Sathya Sai institution. An education which will give them more than just bookish knowledge, which will prepare them for life. And that is why, you see, whether it was the culture of the place, whether it was the food, so many things were different for many of us, but we accepted it because we wanted to be the proud students of Bhagwan's institution. We cannot measure how many thousands of students who have passed out from the portals of our institute have contributed to national productivity and to instilling the values of seva, of self-controls, self-discipline, self-sacrifice, and a ready reaching out to the community that Bhagwan has taught us. We cannot measure that, but we know that it is immense. Many of us, therefore, this evening the mandir is painted red and maroon. Many of us, through that, through our presence here, want to tell everybody that we are proud to be the students of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus. And we are not going to allow anyone and anything to stop us from glorifying the Lord. So the other reason why we are here is to celebrate Bhagwan's love for us. Let me conclude by saying, dearest Lord, thank you for equipping us with an education that has given us the strength to battle life's challenges. Thank you, dear Lord, for giving us an education that has given us the courage to hold our head high in a world which even today is very much a man's world. And thank you, dearest Lord, for making us know and feel that we mattered to you and that we still matter to you. How do we repay what Bhagwan has given to us? Because repay we must. We can't go on receiving so much and give nothing in return. Therefore today, I would like to tell Bhagwan, dearest Bhagwan, we love you, and love you from the bottom of our hearts. And we pledge that we will hold high the torch of Sai. And we will not allow anyone to tarnish the image of Bhagwan. Please grant us, dear Lord, the courage and the humility to be your peaceful warriors. Jai Sai Ram. I have a pleasant duty to perform this evening. A souvenir was prepared, painstakingly prepared, for the Golden Jubilee celebrations. A team of students, alumni, under the leadership of Miss Lakshmi Menon, have worked day and night to offer to Bhagwan the labor of their love. The book contains the experiences, the expressions of gratitude of hundreds of alumni. The souvenir is rightly titled The Indweller because may not be obvious to everyone, but our connect with Bhagwan has always been there and we know that it has been there. So on this very special day, I would like to invite the current Chancellor of our university, Sri Chakravarti Garu, to please come and release the souvenir. I also request the trustees, Sri J. Ratnakar and Sri Prasad Rao, to also please come and join in the release of the souvenir. Thank you. I have another very pleasant duty to perform. I have the honor of introducing to all of you, not that you don't know him at all, but the honor of introducing respected Chancellor Sir of our university, Sri Chakravarti Garu. In the grand story of the Sri Satya Sai avatar, a devotee who has played a key role is Sri K. Chakravarti, IAS. He was the first registrar of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and later the secretary of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. He now serves the Central Trust as a trustee. Mr. Chakravarti's association with the Sai Avatar dates back to 1975. He has deep association with the Anantapur campus as well. An overachiever by any measure, at the age of 24, he had completed his university education in economics and law and was inducted into the prestigious Indian Administrative Service. Although a native of Tamil Nadu, Sri Chakravarti opted to serve in the Andhra Pradesh cadre because it was home to the Lord Venkateshwara Shrine at Tirupati. Born and raised in the Vaishnavite spiritual tradition, he found it hard to resist the draw of the Lord at Tirumala. During his year tenure, both in the central and state governments, he earned himself a reputation for his competence and integrity. But the turning point in Sri Chakravarti's life came when he was posted as the collector of the Anantapur district in Andhra Pradesh, the very jurisdiction within which lies Puttaparthi. At the insistence of his wife, Mrs. Sudha Chakravarti, and his colleague, Major Vishwanath, he visited Prashanta Nilayam for the first time in 1975. Bhagwan's very first words to him were, "I may be new to you, but you are not new to me." The declaration proved prophetic as it led to a completely unplanned and unscheduled detour in the life of the Chakravarti family. At the peak of his professional life, at the age of 45, Sri Chakravarti shifted his gears from IAS to SAI. Since 1981, Mr. and Mrs. Chakravarti have been full-time ashramites living here in Prashantanilayam and serving the Sai mission. I deem it an honor now to call upon Sir to speak a few words to us on this very auspicious occasion. Sri Chakravarti.
My prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan, the revered, eternal, divine Chancellor. Those of us who are bestowed this designation now will be humble human chancellors. And persons like me, who had the honor, blessings and privilege of being with Swami in the university when he was a chancellor, we cannot but think of him as the eternal chancellor. What I thought I would talk to you had already been, in a way, covered by Mrs. Karna Munshi and Dr. Rajeshwari Patel. I can't say they stole my ideas or expressions, but there it is. Because such sentiments are universal, especially those of us who have had the good fortune of being with Swami. As it said, there must have been a compelling reason why Swami chose Women's College to be the first institution to be established. And that has been highlighted by the alumni of Anantapur campus, or shall I say, Anantapur College as it existed then. But to have conceived of the idea of setting up a women's college first and women's college at that, was indicative of the importance which Swami had given to the girls' education. It was pointed out that other people pay possibly lip service, but in the case of Swami, it was a very tangible action on his part to recognize the importance of educating girls, and through whom the family and beyond the nation itself gets educated. India, Swami used to say normally as Bharat. Seldom did he use the word India. Whenever it came to the context of his culture, it was always Bharatiya culture, not the Indian culture. But for purposes of easy identification, we fall into the trap of using India. But I will go back to the usage of the nomenclature which Bhagwan normally had. Bharat has been fortunate where avatars have taken birth, and Sri Satya Sai Baba, who is known to us as the avatar of the Kali age, has been our beloved founder, chancellor. The most remarkable happening in the world, crafted by the hand of God, occurred silently. And well, there is not very a lot of ceremony attached to any of the functions which Swami had organized, there was also a certain deep silence about it. It was never publicized. Functions would have been great. People of eminence would have come. But thereafter, or even before that, nothing is proclaimed. So they remain rather silent to the outside world, although there have been very important functions for those who have gathered around Swami during those functions. As it was pointed out earlier, the college was started in 1968. I do not know whether the first batch of 1971 alumnus or alumni are here. If so, I would like to see them stand. No 71 batch? There you are. Great. Great. I presume that your grandchildren, boys or girls, would be attending Swami's college now. If so, that is indeed a great blessing. Those of you who have been students in Anantapur campus during the years 1981 to 1994 would have seen me sometime or other, especially on an occasion like the annual sports day, where all of you were equally busy along with the boys, perhaps busier than them. But after 1994, when I moved away from the university, I didn't have much of an occasion to meet the students. Until now, I must say. This school, this college had a very humble beginnings. It was started in the premises of the government girls' high school. So much has happened since then. This Sri Satya Sai Arts and Science College, the word commerce is missing, unlike in Whitefield. Perhaps Swami didn't want you people to become commercially minded. So that college was inaugurated on 22nd July 1968, as it was pointed out. And I think this has come out of a certain promise made by Swami to the devotees of Anantapur. And there were many at that time when some type of a school was there, but Swami promised that he would establish a college. And true to his promise, there is now no promise that has not been fulfilled by Swami. So in this case also, he fulfilled his promise by establishing this college. And it is not merely a college in the conventional sense of the term, teaching history, philosophy, literature, maths, physics, chemistry, bioscience. It was above all an attitude towards education, towards life as a whole. And I think what was dominant in mind of Swami at the time, as it was at the time of institution of the university itself, was to combine in all of us a passion for intellect and earning for the soul. What was required, I think, is to bring in an institution which would combine the white heat of reason and the warmth and glow of the soul. Conventional universities normally think that they should take care of reason, intellect, rational way of looking at the world. For Swami, it meant only seeing the world through one eye. What he desired was to give us a binocular vision, a vision in which we'll see through the two eyes of reason, and beyond that emotion is the divine, noble emotion. And therefore, even when it was not a university, when it was a part as an affiliated college of another university like Sri Venkateswara University, Swami was very keen that this institution, his college, must provide a basic background and also cultivate an interest in the students to learn about the ancient Bharatiya culture and its spiritual values. Obviously, the 20th century, as it happened in previous centuries also, there must have been a dwindling of earnestness in pursuit of spiritual values. So when Swami decided that a new college for women must be established, Swami then said what was his resolve. And as you know, divine resolve is always fulfilled. I quote here what he said on the day. On the occasion of the school's day of the high school for girls in this town, as early as 1964, Swami says, I had announced that what this town needed most was a college exclusively for women. That sankalpa has today realized itself. The word is not, I have realized it, or I have made it realized. Look at the word as today realized itself. Very soon, this will become a full-fledged, completely equipped educational institution with a status peculiar to itself. The prompting behind this college is not the search for reputation. This is not to say that whether you have come on the top of the so-called Times Literary Supplement list or somebody's list. This is not also based on the desire to propagate a cult or the hope of monetary profit. I have allowed this college to rise because it will instill in the minds of the students the ancient ideals of Satya, Dharma, Shanti and Prema, ideals that are delineated in the Vedas, described in Shastras, illustrated in the epics, ratified by countless generations of the men and women of this land, and confirmed as best suited for individuals and social progress by saints and sages, lawgivers and leaders for centuries. As I mentioned, this college was affiliated to Sri Venkateswara University at that time. And the emphasis, although of course it is an affiliated university, there are certain experiments in education that were initiated by Swami at the time, and he said, all right, this is going to be a place for education for those who are seeking such education which will stand good for their lifetime. And it will not be merely for the purpose of getting a job or getting a position. So he called it, education is for life and not for mere living. And then of course, later on, the word educare came into vogue while we talk of value education. And Swami said that there is nothing outside in the world which is not already within. And therefore the education which we seek is already within. It's only a question of how well and how good are we in bringing it out. So he said educare means that which brings out what is within. It's always a question of discovery or rediscovery that is already there, given by Swami. So what all that we are doing is to discover what he has already given us. And then of course came at that time itself the emphasis on the values. And then to bring out means, how do you put it into action? Swami always said, there's no point in learning things by heart or resort to mere theoretical education. It must always be backed up by practice. It's the same thing, an ounce of practice is better than a ton of theory. And then he laid the foundation for the new college. That was in 1969. And then again he set forth the ideals of the education system at that time. My sankalpa, Swami says, is to provide the youth with an education which, while cultivating their intelligence, will also purify their impulses and emotions and equip them with the physical and mental disciplines needed for drawing upon the springs of calmness and joy that lie in their own hearts. Their higher natures will have to be fostered and encouraged to blossom by means of study, prayer and sadhana, contacts with the sages, saints and spiritual heroes and heroines of their land, and place them on the path of self-confidence, self-satisfaction, self-sacrifice and self-knowledge. He didn't use the word there at that time, self-realization, it was self-knowledge at the time. As is pointed out by the earlier speaker, this is an act of empowering women. We talk of empowering women in the 21st century. In the middle of the 20th century itself, there's been sort of conceived and executed by Bhagwan. And there's another quotation at that time which Swami said, which I think it's useful to recall. He said, let the mind dwell more firmly on the universal Atma, which is reflected equally in every being, and love will automatically guide all activities along fruitful paths. I bless that this college, that is a women's college, your college, will be an example of the triumph that love and reverence can win. Let it be an inspiration to workers in the field of women's welfare and national progress in every state. The faint beginnings are being seen now. May the college educate generations of noble mothers who will live dharma, not merely speak, and raise heroes. Hopefully your children have become heroes, surcharged with devotion and dedication to God. And so it went on, and it took some time for the building to be constructed. Around 8th July 1971, on the auspicious occasion of Guru Purnima, on a holy Thursday, it happened to be Thursday too, the college building of the Anantapur campus was inaugurated by the then President of India, Mr. V.V. Giri, in the immediate divine presence of Bhagwan. And the Swami wanted to give some role to Mrs. Giri also. And therefore, he gave her the privilege of inaugurating the hostel. That was inaugurated by Srimati Saraswati Giri. And then, of course, one of the well-known devotees of Bhagwan, who became subsequently the Prime Minister of India, Mr. P.V. Narasimha Rao, was then the education minister in the government of Andhra Pradesh. So, and he's a good translator, as you all know, of Swami's discourses. And then he conferred on him the honor of asking him to inaugurate the college auditorium. So all the people were duly honored on that occasion. And the last 50 years, as was pointed out, have seen steady growth. Apart from being a college, an affiliated college of another university, it has become an integral campus of Swami's own university. And all these years, I think all of you have steadfastly been guided by what Swami wanted the students of Anantapur College and campus to be. And that is your contribution to the country. I understand that many of the alumni of Anantapur College and campus are also doing very well overseas, not only in India, but they've gone abroad and they're doing very well there in their own chosen professions. Many of you must have been not only doing your work outside, but have been very well informed mothers of your children, and the children must have got the benefit of your education in Swami's institution. And as pointed out earlier, many of the alumni have also been associated with various institutions set up by Bhagwan, including the Sathya Sai organizations. Today, marking the 50th year of setting up, we all have gathered, and I deem it an honor and a privilege to be called upon by you all to speak a few words to you. And as I said, my association with Swami's university started from the very beginning, on the day Swami got this university inaugurated by the then Chief Justice of India, Mr. Chandrachud. It had been a great honor to be associated with the university and with your campus during those years, and I cherish the memory of my association. I now wish that all of you, when you return home, you will carry with you once again from this place Bhagwan's love and grace, and continue to inspire your families, and keep your live contact with Prashanthi Nilayam. We look forward to our repeated visits in the years to come, and continue to contribute to the growth and welfare of your dear campus. Permit me now to take leave of you and wish you well. Good night. Goodbye.
On behalf of all of us, I take this opportunity to sincerely thank our revered Chancellor, respected Sri Chakravarti Sir, for joining us this evening. Sir, your presence means a lot to us, especially given the pressing circumstances and engagements that you're dealing with right now. And I would request you to please spare us another 5 minutes of your time, sir. So, since Vedic times, women of Bharat, since we are speaking of Bharat tonight, have been a force to reckon with, exuding a silent power drawn from the strength of character, selflessness and sacrifice, thereby giving testament to the power of hope, courage and resilience. As the daughters of God incarnate, we the women of Bharat, educated in his institution at Anantapur, aspire to walk in the same tradition and aspire to one day meet Bhagwan's expectations of us. Thanks to the inspired generosity of our beloved Bhagwan, today we are who we are because of who he chose to be for our sake. And we are who we are because of the distinguished elders, mentors and role models he selected for nurturing, nourishing and training us to navigate through our destinies and its challenges. Today, on behalf of the 50 batches of women of Bharat who have passed through the portals of Anantapur College, it is my proud privilege to celebrate and honor a distinguished group of elders who have contributed to our inspired upbringing at the lotus feet of our Lord. Luminaries in their respective lives, each of these elders epitomize intellectual brilliance, spiritual wisdom, sincerity, simplicity, honesty, hard work, and tremendous sacrifice. Their life stories or their journey to Sai clearly indicate that they were handpicked to be part of the mission of which we are now celebrating the 50th anniversary. To begin with, I now call upon our current Vice Chancellor, Professor Verma Sir, to please join us in the front, in the center, as we felicitate our elders on the men's side. And also our Registrar, Dr. Girdhar Sai, and our Controller of Examination, Dr. Sanjay Sahani, please. The first elder that we would like to honor this evening, about whom Dr. Patel introduced you with great detail, is none other than our revered Chancellor, Sri K. Chakravarti, sir. And might I remind you, from being the first registrar to the university to being the chancellor of the university appears like the circle has completed. It is now my honor to invite Dr. G. Venkatraman, an outstanding Indian physicist and also the former Vice Chancellor of our university, the distinguished Padma Shri Dr. G. Venkatraman, please. Thank you, Dr. G. Venkatraman, sir. Another distinguished Vice Chancellor of our university is Sri S. V. Giri, a former bureaucrat and also the Central Vigilance Commissioner of the Government of India. He served as the Vice Chancellor of our university from the year 1998 and has also served as a member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. We will be honoring Sri S. V. Giri at his residence at a later moment. And now I invite Sri Anil Gokak, IAS, who was our Vice Chancellor and also the son of our first Vice Chancellor, Sri Vinayak Krishna Gokak, to please come forth. Thank you, Sri Anil Gokak, sir. Now it's my privilege to invite the director of the Sri Satya Sai Center for Human Values and the former Vice Chancellor of our university, Professor Vishwanath Pandit. Thank you, Dr. Pandit. Finally, it's my privilege to invite the first controller of examination of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning, Professor Nanjundaya sir. Thank you, Nanjundaya sir. Before I read out the names of the ladies who mean the world to us, I wish to read out a few select lines from Pearl Cleage's poem, We Speak Your Names, wherein Pearl, through her heartfelt eloquence, captures and celebrates her distinguished elder strengths, their magic, their loving kindness, their faith in themselves, and the priceless example of their lives. This is how we feel about our elders from Anandpur at this historic moment. I dedicate this to the ladies whom we wish to honor this evening. And I quote Pearl Cleage. We are gathered here to speak your names. We are here because we are your daughters. As surely as if you had conceived us, nurtured us, and carried us in your wombs, and then sent us out into the world to make our mark, and to see what we see, and be what we be, but better, truer, and deeper. We know that we are walking in footprints made deep by the confident strides of women who parted the air before them, like the forces of nature that you are. We are here to speak your names because you taught us that the search is always for the truth. And because of the prayers you prayed for us, we are the ones you hoped would make you proud. We speak your names, we speak your names. Unquote. The first name that I wish to speak of this evening has been a cornerstone of the student community life at Anantapur, the much-loved, beloved librarian and assistant warden, Mrs. Pushpa Ramana. Is known as Pushpa Ma'am, and she has raised generations of daughters single-handedly, and by her example we continue to get inspired on everything from Bottu, Jottu, Kattu to Pushpa Madam's three favorite words. As you will notice, we all feature those, and the love and the impeccability of her way of doing everything. So please join me once again. And who better than our very own Mrs. Malika Shauri, Shauri Auntie, to do the honors. Thank you so much, Shauri Auntie. We would also like to honor and remember Miss Anima Mukherjee, the very first principal of the Anantapur campus. Due to her poor health, she's not able to join us right now, and we hope to felicitate her at a later time. And now, one of the longest serving principals of our campus, Dr. J. Hemlata, who currently resides in the United States, is the person who advised us that if we wish to honor her, she regrets her inability to be here with us this evening. So she suggested that on her behalf, her dearest student should receive the honor, and that happens to be Dr. Rajeshwari Patel. Dr. Purna Sri Devi served the campus in the Department of Botany till she became its director. Dr. Purna Sri Devi currently pursues her spiritual sadhana in an ashram. I request her sister Padmini Ji to receive the honor on her behalf. Dr. Dwarka Rani joined the institute in 1972. And in the year 2007, she was appointed the director of the Anantapur campus. And finally, Dr. Madhu Kapani, who was appointed the director in 2014. And a big round of applause for the respected Mrs. Shari for joining us this evening in this celebration. It is now my pleasure to introduce you to our next speaker, who is yet another outstanding alumna of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus. Ms. Sushma Kotagiri is a senior facilitation specialist, accountability mechanism at the Asian Development Bank at Manila in the Philippines. A product of the Sri Sathya Sai Bal Vikas and Youth Program, she studied at Bhagwan's Anantapur campus from 1997 to the year 2000, earning herself a bachelor's degree in home science. She went on to earn a degree in gender and development studies from the United Kingdom. Ms. Kotagiri completed her executive program in land management and informal settlers regularization from Rotterdam in the Netherlands, and her executive education on negotiation and leadership from the Harvard Law School at Cambridge in the United States. Sushma Kotagiri works across the Asia-Pacific countries on dispute resolution and negotiating solutions in complex environments to help project beneficiaries and maintain project outcomes. She has anchored social development and instituted mechanisms for improving sustainability across a vast portfolio covering water supply, transport, natural resource management, and education spanning more than 10 Asian nations. Her family has been in the Sai fold for nearly four decades. Sushma's respected father was a dedicated doctor who served many Sai medical missions and adopted needy villages. Her mother, Mrs. Sudha, is the state Mahila coordinator for Andhra Pradesh and Telangana state. Ms. Sushma Kotagiri is an active participant in the Philippine Sai organization when she's not traveling on work. Swami is the nucleus, core, and essence of Sushma and her family's life. Please join me to welcome Sushma Kotagiri.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering my most loving and humble salutations at the divine lotus feet, I extend my warm greetings to esteemed guests, respected elders, the teachers of the Sri Satya Sai University, my fellow alumni, the current students, brothers and sisters, who are continuing to be worthy instruments across the globe. I share the same sentiment. What a glorious and important day. 50 years ago, on this day, Bhagwan began the first of what would become series of institutions that would show the world what worldly education continued with universal love and human values can achieve. Standing before you in this sacred spot not only makes me nostalgic, but feels like completion of a full circle. In many ways, my life as Sai student began here in this very holy spot, and I am back here to share my humble learnings of my life's journey to my fellow spiritual travelers. My life, like any, has had ups and downs. And I must say, more of downs. Like a ship in the sea, the weather was sometimes turbulent and sometimes favorable. What held me was having a good compass and a strong anchor. And fortunately, at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, our compass is set towards human values and love, and Bhagwan himself becomes the strong anchor. I graduated from Anandpur campus in 2000. Instead of continuing my further studies, I decided to go back and spend time with my biological family, as I have been away in boarding since high school. I sat for last darshan before I left for home, and that was our final year interview in Vrindavan. Swami walked towards me, and my prayer to him, Swami, I go into the outside world. Please hold my hand and continue to walk with me, whatever the future held. Brothers and sisters, it was only after a year did the urge of that spontaneous prayer made a sense to me. In the year 2001, on Ugadi Day, the Telugu New Year, my family met with a horrific car accident. And I lost more than half of my family members in that accident, including my most beloved father and my brother. What should have been a new beginning seemed like a complete dead end. Let me tell you here, I have no words to describe the loss of those loved ones. And for me, it was hundredfold greater, as my father and brother were the strongest pillars of my personal life. and they were the living examples of Bhagwan's teachings. Those deep dark nights following the incident were the longest days and nights of my life. Despite this huge setback, life doesn't wait for us, and there was a lot of emotional exhaustion. One day, I decided to go to the College of Home Science in Hyderabad, and when I went to procure my application for the master's program, the administrator said, "Sorry, Ms. Sushma, the last application has been sold out an hour ago." At that moment, it seemed like there was no way out of this negative spiral for me. And it is in these times that one's determination is truly tested. However, with faith in Bhagwan that is instilled in us in this very institute and the firm belief in his master plan, I was slowly able to pick my strength little by little, little by little. In moments of crisis, Swami helps in million ways through multiple instruments. And here, I would like to thank, in my case, the emotional and spiritual strength that I received from one particular family, that is Sai family, namely that of Mr. and Mrs. Lieutenant General Mehta, was critical in my recovery. In fact, in the year 2001, in the same Whitefield, Vrindavan, Swami called our family into his personal interview room, held my hand, assured my mother and sister that he would take charge of my life, and he said, "I am the father of the family from now." Time went by, years flew. I applied and got admitted into the master's program in gender and development studies in England. I returned to India to see my mother and sister for 3 weeks. 2 days before my return flight to London, I got a call from Oxfam Great Britain, an international non-government organization which works for improving the lives of the rural poor. The South India headquarters was based in Hyderabad, and they were running programs across Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka and Maharashtra. I got interviewed for an assignment to lead their gender program in forestry management. At the back of my mind during the entire interview was, I just had 3 months for my London visa to expire, and I was praying, "Swami, why are you testing me? You said you would take care of me. I cannot take this anymore." Let me tell you here, brothers and sisters, what came out of the interview was yet another reminder and reassurance of Bhagwan being in charge of my life, and he was in fact my divine father. And what was the offer letter? I was assigned Anantapur district as my project location. And with travel to 200 villages in Rayalaseema region to understand women's issues, how one can improve women's lives, and what can be done in order to improve market access to women so that they can get additional income which can help improve their families. The next surprise, I almost fell down the chair, Puttaparthi as first targeted village in the offer letter. What started as a 3-month assignment ended almost after 2 years. The path that Swami had laid began there, and the rest of what you heard humbly from Sister Karuna is how the course was laid down minute by minute, second by second by Bhagwan himself. I currently work with an esteemed institution, the Asian Development Bank, which works across Asia and the Pacific, empowering the poor and eradicating poverty across many countries. I'm constantly faced what I call is a development clash. These multi-million dollar investments that we make can displace people, and this can disturb the social and economic fabric of their lives. Development projects do have long-term impacts, but when certain critical considerations are missed out in the decision-making process, it can cause concerns to its very own people. And my job is to understand this situation in a holistic way so that these critical social details related to human and humane factor are not missed out. And to achieve this, along with the bank's social policy instruments, one needs to demonstrate a compassionate vision and a sense of equality towards people of all backgrounds, race, creed, caste, and beliefs. Brothers and sisters, it happens to be in Pakistan, in Indonesia, in Georgia, to Mongolia. Across all these countries, I need to demonstrate that there is equality between all these people. And if today I am able to fulfill this responsibility, I owe it entirely to this institute which has sown the seeds in me. Being a student at Satya Sai University is an opportunity to constantly develop a sense of compassion, empathy, understanding and inclusiveness through various service and developmental projects that are seamlessly woven into our curriculum. My current role also involves building trust and cooperation between the governments and their people. And this takes a lot of time, effort, and patient listening. I have observed that a powerful way to gain trust of others is to let them sense the values and principles that you stand for. More than what you speak, it's your character that shines from your actions and choices that tend to have a lasting impact on people more than anything else. And this emphasis on character building as a tool for effective social change is at the heart of Sai education. And today, what I am is entirely is the training that this Sai education has exposed me to. Bhagwan's call that education should prepare us for life is not an idealistic phrase, but is a reality at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. The Sai education not only prepares us for a good paycheck, but trains us in handling the toughest and the lowest moments of our life without giving up or losing faith in His master plan. Bhagwan, with a heart filled with extreme gratitude and infinite humility, I do not have enough vocabulary to describe my love and gratitude to you. I sincerely pray to Bhagwan to shower His grace on this Institute of Human Excellence so that for hundreds of years to come, it may continue to nurture women students who can stand strong in the face of adversity and contribute to the society through their healthy bodies, sound minds, and compassionate hearts, and heal this world of its excessive selfishness. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Sister Sushma, for your very candid and inspiring talk. And now, we will all be watching a small documentary that Swami's daughters have put together as a humble offering at His lotus feet, made possible due to the unconditional support of Radio Sai Global team. This documentary will be followed by a musical offering. Thank you.
Wisdom is freedom. The end of culture is perfection. The end of knowledge is love. The end of education is character.
What a scene it was. A women ensemble of traditional Nadaswaram. A marching brass band. Sonorous Veda chanting. Grateful hearts. Excited alumni. Yes, they celebrate the pioneering educational mission of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
This story begins more than 50 years ago when Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba visited the girls' high school at Anantapur in 1966. The plight of the girls who had to travel long distances for higher education moved the compassionate one deeply. He believed that women had great responsibility in raising future generations of noble citizens. Therefore, women had to be educated well and endowed with wisdom, fortitude, and faith to equip them for this great task.
Anantapur became the focal point of the educational revolution. On July 22, 1968, the Sri Sathya Sai Arts and Science College for Women was inaugurated with Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba as the founder president, a destiny launched on the prayers of thousands. On that day, Baba declared,
"I have allowed this college to rise because it will instill in the minds of the students the ancient ideals of Satya, Dharma, Shanti and Prema. Ideals that are delineated in the Vedas, described in Shastras, illustrated in the epics, practiced by countless generations of the men and women of this land, and confirmed as best suited for individual and social progress by its saints and sages, lawgivers and leaders, for centuries."
Professor J. Hemalata, who served as the principal of the campus for more than three decades, says,
"The question comes, why did Bhagwan start the women's college first? It is not accidental. Bhagwan says, it is the mother's responsibility to teach the child the values of our eternal Dharma and mold the future generations into responsible citizens. Not by merely teaching, but setting herself as an example.
Swami, the Divine Mother, wanted to transform girls' education and through that make her an ideal daughter, a responsible wife and a successful mother."
On July 8, 1971, the maiden campus was inaugurated by the then President of India, His Excellency Sri V.V. Giri, and his wife, Srimati Saraswati Giri. The mission was growing, a sprawling campus, more courses, more students. 10 years later, in 1981, the Anantapur College, along with College for Men in Brindavan and Puttaparthi, were integrated into the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, a deemed to be university recognized by the Government of India. About 80 kilometers north of Puttaparthi, spread over 88 acres, Anantapur is the largest of the four campuses of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. With tranquil and sublime surroundings, the residents of the campus intuitively understand that it is a temple of learning. The curriculum at the university creates an authentic educational experience that provides myriad opportunities to grow.
A new chapter was being written in the history of education. Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba designed the system of Sri Sathya Sai values-based integral education, and the first messengers of this Renaissance movement were the graduates of the Anantapur campus, aimed at preparing all graduates to be spiritually aware, socially responsible, and professionally sound.
The seed that was planted 50 years ago has now grown into a mighty tree with numerous branches. The early days saw Bhagwan Baba's direct guidance and loving care, and his mission continues through the tireless efforts of those he trained. The highly distinguished faculty, many of whom are alumni, have myriad memories of the divine touch in their lives. The current director, Professor Rajeshwari Patel records her entry into the campus 46 years ago.
One of my earliest memories of Bhagwan when I was a student is of how he received my sister and myself when we came here on 1st of July 1972. Bhagwan kept his divine promise to us that he would be there at Anantapur when we arrived from Gujarat, and true to his word, he was 1 hour ahead of us at the campus, and when we entered the marble floor, he was there to receive us. And I just remember that scene because, especially because he was the only person in the whole gathering there that we knew at all. And so we just rushed to Bhagwan, fell at his feet and just sobbed because we were feeling very much out of place, but he assured us that he would take care of everything.
The precious interactions and the valuable injunctions from our divine founder chancellor lead us on today. Here is an insightful recollection from Dr. Rani Peel, an alumnus and currently the head of the Department of English.
This was year 1999. Bhagwan had not visited the campus for quite some time. So we were thinking of the most radical of steps to get Bhagwan's attention and grace. So a few teachers thought of the idea of undertaking a padayatra to Puttaparthi. We thought we could walk all the way to Parthi, which would melt Bhagwan's heart, and then he would grant us the prayer that we have of Bhagwan visiting the campus. A Via Media solution was found. We would walk the last 15 kilometers. We walked, arrived at Puttaparthi when the morning bhajans were going on. When the bhajan was over and Bhagwan was walking back to his residence, one of the senior teachers told Bhagwan, "Swami, me mandir nadichko nachamo." Bhagwan, we all came walking. And then there came Bhagwan's most profound response. He said, "Nadichko ni ravakkar len bangaru, Swami batalo nadiste chali." There is no need for you to come walking to Puttaparthi. If you walk on the path that Swami has shown, that should be enough.
Dearest Bhagwan, our deepest gratitude for your boon of educare, our earnest prayers to bless us to walk always in your footsteps.
My Lord's son, He's the only चतुर्दश भुवन व्यापिनम् श्रीविघ्नेश्वरम् नमामि
Thank you. जनतु रही मचा हो तू वासुदेव गो विश्व रूप तो चिदानंद हरि तू अद्वितीय तू अकार निर्भय आत्मलिंग शिव तू आत्मलिंग शिव तू आत्मलिंग शिव तू
Oh, శాంతి మందిర సుందర సుమధుర కరుణా సాగర ఈ పేరున నిను పిలిచేరునా ఏ రూపముగా కొలిచేరునా శాంతి మందిర సుందర సుమధుర కరుణా కడలిలో శేషశయ్యపై పవరించిన శ్రీమతి పాలకడలిలో శేషశయ్యపై పవలించిన శ్రీపతివో వెలికొండపై నిండు మనసుతో వెలిగే గౌరీ పతివో ముగరమ్మలకి మూల పుటం మగ పువిలో విలసిన ఆది శక్తివో ముగరమ్మలకి మూల పుటం మగ పువిలో విలసిన ఆది సుమధుర కరుణా సాగరా కాంతులు చిందే నీ ముఖ బింబము కాంచిన చాలును గడి అయినా కాంతులు చిందే నీ ముఖ బింబము కాంచిన చాలును గడి అయినా నీ గుడి వాడిన దివ్యను నేనే వెలిగిన నిలిచిన చాలును ఘనమైన నీ పదములపై కుసుమముని నిలిచిన చాలును ఘనమైన ప్రశాంతి మందిర సుందర సుమధుర కరుణా సాగరా నిను పిలిచేగా ఇరువముగా కొలిచేనురా ప్రశాంతి మందిర సుందర సుమధుర కరుణా సాగరా
Thank you. చిరాగు కాటి రేఖలను అందించు. रहना हमारे सब जीवन में तुझसे सदा हम रोशन रहे उमा रोशन रहे उमा रोशन रहे आशियाना हमारा तेरे तले तो दाता हम तेरे द्वारे खड़े तेरे द्वारे खड़े
yours forever and evermore. Show us the path that leads to you, the divine bond that binds all of us to you. Wherever we go, whatever we do, Swami, please lead us unto you.
What thanks can we render, Sai?
now pray to our divine and beloved founding chancellor, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, for his divine message.
నేటి విద్యను తెలివితేటలనే పెంచే కొంచెమైన గుణము పెంచబోదు.
The modern education will help you more and more to be more and intelligent, but it will not improve your character.
కోటి విద్యలుండి గుణము లేకున్నచో ఫలమదేమి వాణి విలువదేమి విలువదేమి విలువదేమి.
With all forms of knowledge, without character, what is the use of it? What is the value of that education? Everything lies at the level of the individual.
పవిత్రమైన జలము పరిశుద్ధమైన రీతిలో తెల్లగా కనిపిస్తుంటాయి.
You find the water is crystal clear and still when it is
cold. కానీ తెల్లని పవిత్రమైన జలమును ఎర్రని సీసాలో పోసినప్పుడు ఆ నీరు ఎర్రగా కనిపిస్తున్నాయి.
When the pure water is kept in a red bottle, it looks red in color.
ఈ దోషం జలముదా లేక బాటిల్దా?
Does the mistake lie with the water or the bottle?
కాదు, బాటిల్ దే దీని యొక్క దోషము.
The mistake lies with the bottle.
అదే విధంగా పవిత్రమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఈ విద్యా విధానము చాలా సున్నితమైనటువంటిది, చాలా సుగుణవంతమైనటువంటిది, చాలా పవిత్రమైనటువంటిది, నిర్మలమైనటువంటిది, నిశ్చలమైనటువంటిది, నిస్వార్థమైనటువంటిది.
ది ఎడ్యుకేషన్ సిస్టమ్ నో డౌట్ ఈస్ హైలీ సీక్రెట్ ప్యూర్ అన్సలీడ్.
స్వార్థ స్వప్రయోజన మాలిన్యంతో కూడినటువంటి ఈ మనసు అనేటువంటి బాటల్లో ప్రవేశించేటప్పటికీ ఇది మాలిన్యంగా కనిపిస్తుంటుంది.
It appears, it looks as if it is polluted because of selfishness and self-interest.
కనుకనే మొట్టమొట్ట మానవుని యొక్క మనసును పరిశుద్ధం కావించుకోవాలి.
Therefore, in the first instance, we should purify our mind.
ఆ మనసు పరిశుద్ధమైనప్పుడే మన చూపులు, మన నడతలు, మన వినికిడి అన్ని కూడా పరిశుద్ధంగానే ఉంటాయి.
When once the mind is purified, our looks, our behavior, our conduct
will be pure.
Human life depends on the mind.
కేవలం మానవ జీవితం మాత్రమే కాదు, యావత్ విశ్వమే మనసుపై ఆధారపడి ఉంటుండాలి.
Not only human life, the entire universe depends on the
mind.
The whole world depends on the mind.
కనుకనే మనం మనసును మంచిగా చేసుకున్నప్పుడే మనిషి మంచివాడవుతాడు.
When once we make our mind good, we become good in turn.
మనసు వల్లనే మనిషి అని పేరు వచ్చింది.
It's because of manas mind we have the title
మనిషి. మనసు ఎట్టిదో మనిషి అట్టివాడే.
As is the mind, so is the man.
కనుక వీడు చెడ్డవాడంటే ఏమి? తన మనసు చెడ్డది కనుకనే వీడు చెడ్డవాడు.
When once we say so and so is bad, it means he has bad
mind. మంచివాడనిగా ఏమిటి? మనసు మంచిది కాబట్టి ఇతను మంచివాడు.
When once we say he is good, it means he has a good mind.
కనుకనే మనసు లోపల ఉన్నది మనిషి బయట చూచేటువంటిది.
It's man who looks outside, but the why mind is present.
ఈనాటి మానవుడు వినటం కాని చూడటం కాని అన్ని కూడాను స్వార్థ స్వప్రయోజన దృష్టితోనే చూస్తున్నాడు.
All our listening, all our talking and hearing are utterly selfish today.
తన స్వార్థ నిమిత్తమై ప్రపంచాన్ని కూడా ప్రేమిస్తున్నాడు, కానీ ప్రపంచ నిమిత్తమై ప్రపంచాన్ని ప్రేమించటం లేదు.
He loves the world because of his own selfish interest. He doesn't love the world as such.
ఒక వ్యక్తిని మనం ప్రేమించినట్టుగా నటిస్తుంటాడు, కానీ వ్యక్తిని ప్రేమించటం లేదు. తన నిమిత్తమై ఆ వ్యక్తిని తాను ప్రేమిస్తున్నాడు.
He pretends and acts as if he's liking, loving another person.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి పరిశోధనలు చక్కగా సరిచేసినప్పుడు, చూచినప్పుడు ప్రతి దాని ఎందుకు స్వార్థము స్వార్థము స్వార్థము.
When we investigate and explore, we'll understand selfishness in all quarters.
స్వార్థము ఉండవలసినది.
Selfishness is needed.
కానీ దానికి కూడా ఒక పరిమితి ఉంటుండాలి.
It should be under certain limits.
కానీ ఈనాటి మానవుడు బయట సమాజంలో ప్రవేశించినప్పుడు విద్యార్థులకు ప్రభావము విరుద్ధమైన రీతిగా మారిపోతుండాలి.
When once students come out of the portals of the education institutions, enter the society, they totally change.
ఈ సమస్తంలో ఉండినంత వరకు కూడాను తాను ఎంతో గుణవంతుడుగా కనిపిస్తుంటాడు.
So long they are in the institute, they look good.
బయట ప్రపంచంలో ప్రవేశించేటప్పటికీ అక్కడ ఈ యొక్క మంచి అంతా కూడా పరిపూర్ణ అశుద్ధంగా మారిపోతుండాలి.
The moment they go out and leave the institution, they totally change.
కనుకనే విద్యార్థులారా, మీరు ఎక్కడ ఉండినప్పటికీ సత్సంగంలో మీరు ప్రవేశించండి.
స్టూడెంట్స్ యు బి ఎనీవేర్ జాయిన్ ద గుడ్ కంపెనీ.
సద్భావములను పెంచుకోండి.
డెవలప్ గుడ్ థాట్స్.
సత్కర్మలు ఆచరించండి.
యాక్ట్ గుడ్
సదాచారంలో మీరు బ్రతకండి.
అండ్ ఫాలో గుడ్ ప్రాక్టీసెస్.
అప్పుడే నీ మానవత్వానికి సరి అయినటువంటి విలువ నీకు చేకూరుతుంది.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ యు విల్ హావ్ వాల్యూ యాజ్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్.
ఎట్టి వారితో నీవు చేరుదువు అట్టి రూపాన్ని నీ యొక్క మనసు పొందుతుంది.
యాజ్ ఇస్ ద కంపెనీ యూ జాయిన్ సో ఇస్ ద ఫార్మ్ యూ గెట్.
టెల్ మీ యువర్ కంపెనీ ఐ షెల్ టెల్ యూ వాట్ యు ఆర్ అని.
Tell me your company, I shall tell you what you are.
నీవు ఎలాంటి వాడు నీ కంపెనీని పురస్కరించుకుని చెప్పవచ్చు.
We can decide what you are basing on the company you are in.
కనుక మీరు బయట చేరిన తర్వాత మంచి కంపెనీలతో మీరు చేరి మంచి మాటలు మాట్లాడి మంచి కర్మలు ఆచరించి మంచి జీవితాన్ని గడపండి.
Therefore, as you leave the institution, speak nicely and involve yourself in good activities.
విద్యార్థులందరూ కూడా చాలా మంచివారే.
Students also no doubt they are good.
కానీ సమాజం యొక్క దోషం చేత విద్యార్థులకు మనసు మాలిన్యమవుతుండాలి.
బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది డిఫెక్ట్స్ దేర్ ఇన్ ద సొసైటీ యువర్ మైండ్స్ చేంజ్.
భూమిపై ఉన్నటువంటి మట్టి గాలితో చేర్చే గగనం వరకు ఎగురుతుంది.
ద డస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద శాండ్ ఆన్ ఎర్త్ విల్ నేచురల్లీ విల్ రైజ్ అప్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎగరడానికి
ఈ యొక్క డస్ట్ కు రెక్కలు లేవు.
ద డస్ట్ హ్యాస్ నో వింగ్స్.
నీటితో చేరితే గుంత వరకు దిగిపోతుండాలి ఈ మట్టి.
వెన్ వన్స్ ద డస్ట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ద కంపెనీ ఆఫ్ వాటర్ ఇట్ గోస్ డౌన్.
కిందికి దిగడానికి కాళ్ళు లేవు.
ఇట్ డజంట్ గో డౌన్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ లెగ్స్.
పైకి ఎగరడానికి రెక్కలు లేవు.
నార్ కెన్ ఇట్ గో విత్ వింగ్.
కానీ ఈ సహవాస దోషం చేతనే పైకి క్రిందికి తిరుగుతుండాలి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ ద కంపెనీ ద అసోసియేషన్ దట్ విల్ మేక్ ఇట్ అప్ టు రైజ్ అప్ ఆర్ గో డౌన్.
ఈ సత్యాన్ని విద్యార్థులు చక్కగా గుర్తించి
Students should know this truth well.
అతి జాగ్రత్తగా ఈ జీవితాన్ని కాపాడుకోవాలి.
They should be very careful and safeguard themselves.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి దీనిగా కాపాడుకున్నప్పుడే దీనికి మూడు ప్రమాణములు ప్రధానమైనటువంటిగా కనిపిస్తున్నాయి.
When once they safeguard themselves, we have three evidence.
విద్య చేసేటువంటి పనులు చాలా ప్రధానం మూడే.
There are three important factors here.
సర్వలోక హితే అరతః అనగా అన్ని లోకములకు కూడాను హితమైనటువంటి దానిగా మనం జీవించాలి.
We should live in such a way so as to be acceptable to all the world.
Sarvajnana samayantaha anaga annityendukudunu gnanam samattanga untundali.
We should have the knowledge and the wisdom in all aspects of life.
సర్వే గుణ సమయుక్తః సర్వ గుణములు కూడా ఈ విద్యార్థి యందు అభివృద్ధిగాంచాలి.
Students should develop all types of virtues.
ఈ మంచి గుణములు తాను నింపుకున్నప్పుడే
when once you develop virtues
నీ యొక్క జీవితం అంతా ఇక్కడను మంచిగా రాణిస్తుంది.
యువర్ లైఫ్ విల్ షైన్ బ్రిలియంట్లీ.
కాన విద్యార్థులారా,
సో స్టూడెంట్స్,
ఇది మీకు గొప్ప అవకాశము.
ఇట్స్ ఎ గ్రేట్ ఆపర్చునిటీ.
పవిత్రమైనటువంటి యొక్క దినంగా మీరు విశ్వసించాలి.
యు షుడ్ కన్సిడర్ దిస్ యాజ్ ఎ సీక్రెట్ డే.
సద్బోధనను మీ హృదయంలో ప్రవేశించాలి.
సీ దట్ యు లిసన్ టు గుడ్
సమార్గం మీ యొక్క జీవితంలో ప్రవేశించాలి.
యు షుడ్ ట్రెడ్ అలాంగ్ ద రైట్ పాత్.
సత్కీర్తిని మీరు ఆర్జించాలి.
యు షుడ్ గెట్ ఎ గుడ్ నేమ్.
నేను కోరేది అది ఒక్కటి.
దట్స్ వాట్ భగవాన్ వాంట్స్.
మంచి పేరు తెప్పించుకోండి.
గెట్ ఎ గుడ్ నేమ్.
మీ తల్లిదండ్రులకు మంచి పేరు తెప్పించండి.
గెట్ ఎ గుడ్ నేమ్ టు యువర్ పేరెంట్స్.
మీరు చదివినటువంటి ఇన్స్టిట్యూట్ కు మంచి పేరు తెప్పించండి.
గెట్ ఎ గుడ్ నేమ్ టు ది ఇన్స్టిట్యూట్ వేర్ యు స్టడీ.
సహజంగా నీకు మంచి పేరు ప్రాప్తిస్తుంది.
దెన్ యూ విల్ గెట్ ఎ గుడ్ నేమ్ రెప్యుటేషన్.
కానా,
సో
మీరు చెడ్డ చేయటము గొప్పతనము కాదు.
నథింగ్ గ్రేట్ ఇఫ్ యూ యాక్ట్ ఇన్ ఎ రాంగ్.
కీటకమైన కీడు చేస్తుంది. కీడు చేయటము మానవత్వం కాదు.
టు డూ రాంగ్ యాక్షన్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ క్వాలిటీ.
నీవు దేనికి నీ భయపడనక్కర్లేదు.
యూ డోంట్ నీడ్ టు బి అఫ్రైడ్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీథింగ్.
సత్యానికి మాత్రమే నీవు భయపడు.
యూ షుడ్ ఫియర్.
నీవు భయపడడానికి నీవు పశువు కాదు.
You are not an animal to have this fear.
భయపెట్టడానికి నీవు మృగం కాదు.
You are not an animal to have this trait of fear.
మనిషి.
You are a human.
కనుక నేను భయపడకూడదు, భయపెట్టకూడదు.
Therefore, I should not be afraid of anything. I should not make others fear.
ఈ సత్యాన్ని మీరు గుర్తించి వర్తించినప్పుడే సమాజం కూడా బాగుపడుతున్నట్టు అవుతుంది.
When once you know this truth, you can rectify, correct the society.
విద్యార్థులారా,
స్టూడెంట్స్,
మీరు మాత్రం బాగుపడటమే కాకుండా మీ స్నేహితులు, మీ మిత్రులు అనేక మంది ఉంటుంటారు. వారిని కూడాను ఈ పవిత్రమైన మార్గంలో ప్రవేశపెట్టి వారిని కూడాను ధన్యులు చేయడానికి ప్రయత్నిస్తారని నేను ఆశిస్తూ ఆశీర్వదిస్తూ నా ప్రసంగాన్ని విరమిస్తున్నాను.
స్టూడెంట్స్, యూ షుడ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ బి గుడ్, యూ షుడ్ ఎంకరేజ్ యువర్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ టు ట్రెడ్ అలాంగ్ ది సీక్రెట్ పాత్ అండ్ రిడీమ్ దేర్ లైవ్స్. విత్ దీస్ వర్డ్స్ భగవాన్ బ్రింగ్స్ హిస్ డిస్కోర్స్ టు ఎ క్లోజ్.
No. Dasharatha Nandana Rama.